God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Do you attend a small church or a big church? How large is your parking lot? How many attend Sunday school? Great to be with you. This is Pastor Larry speaking to you from Southwest Radio Church. There are different sized churches. Some churches don't even meet in church buildings. They may meet in a home or in a storefront. Others are truly mega churches having multiple services and multiple campuses. They may have a sound crew, expensive video and camera equipment, and an array of staging and computer effects that would make most of us go, "Ooh, wow, ah." I wonder, however, if small and large, or small and big, are the right categories by which we label a church. Are we measuring an athletic stadium and counting heads, or is there another measure that evaluates size the way God does? I don't want to deny that God wants to consider numbers. Acts 2:41 says, "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." But are numbers the only way that churches are to be judged? Isn't it possible that there are some large churches that are, in reality, very little churches? And isn't it possible that there are some very little churches that are, in reality, very large churches? God is interested in faithfulness and Christian character. Are we faithful to the Word of God in our living and in our proclamation? Are those who make up the body in that church men and women of Christian character? God never tells us to grow in numbers, but He does tell us to, quote, "grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's from 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Well, friends, we have a new staff member at Southwest Radio Church, and if you listen to our previous program, we introduced you to him and him to you. His name is James Collins. I've known James for more than 20 years. Many years ago, he was my student in Bible college. He's a fan of Southwest Radio Church, and he's been acquainted with this ministry for many, many years. He's been a chaplain in the U.S. Army for some 25 years with the rank of major. He is now our staff evangelist and also my research assistant, and I am so thankful to the Lord that I can work with him. And where we stopped in our previous program, well, he was just telling us about the opportunity he had to baptize 99 American military personnel in Iraq. What a tremendous opportunity. We've got some more things to talk about, how the Lord used him in Iraq. James, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Well, thank you, Dr. Spargimino. Yes, it was an amazing time, my tours in Iraq. I saw God really moving the year that I baptized 99. One story in particular I'd like to share with our listeners was about the time that I was able to baptize soldiers in the Euphrates River. Amazing story. We were in a convoy of military vehicles, up-armored military vehicles. They're called MRAPs. They're these big vehicles designed to protect the soldiers from IEDs, big vehicles that
improvised explosive devices.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And so we were in this vehicle, and I was riding in the back of the vehicle, and the driver was excited that I was going to be in the convoy with them because they felt like the chaplain was a good luck charm. So they wanted me in their vehicle because they thought, well, if God's man is in the vehicle with us, then we won't get blown up. So they had me in this particular vehicle. I was in the back. And we were speaking. I was visiting with this young man who was driving. He had a lot of spiritual questions. And I was visiting with him through a headset and talking through a radio set because there was a wall between the two of us. I couldn't see him physically. I could kind of see around the corner a little bit, but there was a metal wall there. And so we were talking on this headset the entire trip. And this trip was about a three-day total trip. So we had been talking for a day and a half or so. And about spiritual things. And I'm talking to this young man, and finally he says, "Okay, you know, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be saved." So I prayed with him through this headset as we're talking, driving down the road, down these dusty roads of Iraq. They weren't phenomenal roads, but as we're driving through Iraq, I pray with this young man, and he receives Christ as his Savior and Lord. And then he says,
in a military convoy.
In a military convoy as we're going down the road, right. And then he says, "You know, I feel so great. I feel so alive. I feel like a new person. It's this wonderful thing happening in my life and in my heart." And he says, "Now what do I do?" And I said, "Well, the next step in your Christian walk is to get baptized. You know, when we get back to our base, I'll set up the baptistry and we can get you baptized. And he said, well, here's water. What's to stop us from getting baptized right here? And he's
Acts
pointing.
Chapter 8.
he is. And he's pointing to the Euphrates River. And when he says, here's water, what's to stop me from getting baptized here? In my mind, I'm thinking, well, there's snipers, there's IEDs, there's snakes in the water, there's all kinds of things to stop you. But I just said nothing. So he asked the commander of the convoy through the headset if we can stop, tells him what he wants to do. And the commander says, you know, my wife and I have been going to church back home, and I've made a profession for the Lord, but he said, I've never been baptized. He said, if you're going to get baptized, I am too. So the convoy commander ordered a halt. We stopped.
How many vehicles? 20?
Yeah, this is 10, convoy? 15 vehicles,
wow.
A convoy.
Right.
We stopped. An Iraqi police officer pulled up beside us to see what was going on, and the young man gets out of the vehicle. He's trying to witness to the Iraqi police officer.
And he's just been saved.
He's just been saved. He's on fire for the Lord. We stopped. We went down to the banks of the Euphrates. Of course, we have body armor. We're wearing body armor and Kevlar. So we have to take all that off. I take that off to get out in the water. Our listeners may not know this, but chaplains are non-combatants. So I have no weapon. I have a chaplain assistant that is responsible for my protection, for my safety. And he's just about to blow a gasket.
I've taken my stuff off.
I'm out in the open.
Right.
Anyway.
And snakes in the water.
There are snakes in the water. There's all kind of things. I get out in the water. I baptize the first guy. He comes up out of the water. He's praising the Lord. I baptize the next guy. And they left a security detail back with the vehicles, but most of the people in the convoy came down to the banks with us. And now, I didn't know this at the time. I thought during this trip, during this day and a half trip that I had been in this convoy, I thought I was only talking to the driver of the vehicle I was in. The radios were transmitting through the entire convoy. Every soldier, every American GI heard me share the gospel with that young man, and people started making professions of faith and running out in the water, and I would pray with them and baptize them right there. And we ended up baptizing about 10 soldiers that day right there in the Euphrates River, and it was an incredible experience. Like I said, God was really moving in those years that I was over in Iraq.
Well, you know, James, I have a love for missions, of course, as well as you do, and especially the Middle East and Central Asia and so on. And I really believe from the experiences I've had, from the story you've just told me now, from reading a lot of books, Joel Richardson, Joel Rosenberg, God has a heart for Muslim people,
yes,
for
sir.
People in Central Asia. The fact is, and we've said it on our radio program many times before, that Jesus is showing up to Muslims in dreams and visions. And we've had some stories. It's just phenomenal. It's kind of like Acts chapter 29, you know, or 30 or 31. What a tremendous inspiration that is. And we know that ministry in the Middle East and Central Asia is very, very difficult. So, you know, you've got a language barrier. Arabic is a very difficult language. So what is God doing? Jesus is showing up in visions and dreams. And I remember when I first heard the story of this going on, I was interviewing Joel Rosenberg, who had spent many, many months in the Middle East. I get a call from one of our listeners in Vancouver that afternoon. And she says, Brother Larry, she says, do you believe that Jesus is showing up to Muslims in dreams and visions? And I just found out about what's going on. I said, sister, tell me about it. And she just gave a wonderful testimony how these Iranians had been moving into the area. And one came one night, pounding on her door, wanted to know how to be saved. He had just had a vision of Jesus. And then his 9-year-old daughter had the same vision. He said, hey, something's going on here. So praise the Lord. We need that in America. We
Amen.
Need revival in America. We're in a bad way, and you're going to share some things with us. But go ahead.
You know, we had Bibles in our chapel. They had stacks of them for soldiers to give away to soldiers. I had difficulty giving a soldier a Bible, but when I would leave the chapel to go to lunch, I would come back, Bibles would disappear from the local people that worked on our base would take the
Bibles.
Now,
they were in English?
We had them, some translated in their language. The interesting thing is though, you know, if they get caught there by Muslims with a Bible, they will get their head cut off. We have Bibles everywhere. We don't pick them up and we don't even read them here, you know.
Right.
But here are people that are willing to give their life just to have the Word of God. I found that it was amazing, just an amazing, incredible.
God is just so wonderful. And, you know, when they come from a theocratic religion, which is very hard on women, very hard on non-Muslims like Christians, and they hear of the love of God, it just blows them away. In fact, I remember in Pakistan, the first time I went, preaching about the thief on the cross and then preaching about Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, normally in their religion, they would call upon God to send fire and destroy them all. They started weeping. They started crying. When I preached on marriage, Ephesians chapter 5, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." The women would look at the men, and the men would understand what their duty was. They are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean, this is the revolution, okay? This is the Jesus revolution. Joel Rosenberg wrote a great book, and I found out you read the book as well. It's about a 400-page book. It's called Inside the Revolution. We're speaking about the revolution in the Middle East and in Central Asia. And actually, if we look at the situation now, there's a revolution going on in America. There are pockets of revival. Friends, I want to inspire you. I want to motivate you. Pray for our country. We really need revival. Well, James, what was the most difficult part of being an Army chaplain?
Well, for me, it was being away from my family. You know, I miss my wife, Amanda. By that point in our marriage, we had children. God has blessed us with three wonderful kids. But sadly, I missed a lot of their young lives. I would be often deployed for a year at a time, and a year is a long time in the life of a little child.
We were talking the other day, you and I, about how LGBT issues affected your ministry. Tell us about that.
That's true. You know, when I first enlisted, if somebody was an open homosexual, they couldn't serve in the military. The policy then became don't ask, don't tell. And when I left the service, the homosexuals had become a protected class. I used to do a lot of pastoral counseling in the Army. If a homosexual came to me for counseling and I said to that person, "Well, your first problem is that you're living a sinful lifestyle," that soldier could walk out of my office, file a complaint, and I would have been brought up on discrimination charges, and I could have been discharged without my retirement. I would have said the same thing. I would have said that very same thing if a man was having an affair on his wife. I would have said, "Your first problem is you're living a sinful lifestyle." But adulterers are not a protected class of people in the military.
It's so amazing how the LGBT agenda has just radically changed everything. And like you point out, yeah, adultery is not a protected class, but the other is.
It's also, Dr. Spartamino, a deployment issue. I did a little bit of recruiting. I recruited chaplains for a while and did a little recruiting, enlisted too. Every soldier, sailor, airman, marine has to pass a physical. They have to be physically fit. Well, now with the transgender surgery that the military is doing, that person is for 3 years, over 3 years, they cannot be deployable. If I was trying to enlist today and I had a broken foot, I would have to have surgery or whatever to wait and have that foot healed before I could join. It's a readiness issue. You cannot deploy. But now what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right in our country.
Right. We've lost sight of so many things. I mean, the purpose of the military is not to be guinea pigs in social engineering. It's to win wars and protect our country. And we've so lost that. I mean, everything is upside down. But is it true, James, that conservative evangelical chaplains are leaving the military?
When I retired 4 years ago, it was true. And I can't speak to anything that's happened in the years since. But when I retired, Bible-believing chaplains were rapidly leaving the military. It was so bad that one denomination worked out an arrangement to make church planters out of their former chaplains. They had those former chaplains plant churches right outside of military bases so they could still have a witness to the military. I can't forget the day that I decided to officially retire. I was at a meeting with a general who I greatly respected. The meeting was full of politicians, and one of the politicians asked the general about chaplains conducting same-sex weddings. The general said, "If our chaplains will not officiate a same-sex wedding, then we don't want them in our army." And when he said that, I thought, well, you don't want me anymore. So that's when I went and put my retirement paperwork in.
Wow, that's absolutely shocking, but I've heard so many stories like that before you mentioned it. But after you retired, you served as a pastor. You have pastoral experience.
Yes, sir. I served also as a part-time pastor, even when I was in the Army. But most recently, I was a full-time pastor at a church in Southeast Kansas. But now I'm very excited to be here as the staff evangelist for Southwest Radio Church.
Tell us about your role to get out into churches.
My primary role here for Southwest Radio is to speak at churches. I hope to be out and about very soon. I'd like to fill in for pastors or speak at conferences, special events. I'm available for Wednesday and Sunday church services. If you have multiple services on Sunday morning, I'm available to speak at all of them. I want our listeners to know that we here at Southwest Radio Church are a faith ministry. There's no charge for me to come and speak at your church, but we do ask that you take up an offering for Southwest Radio. I'm on a salary that was set by our board of directors, so I can't personally accept money. All the donations will go to our ministry. We are in Oklahoma City, so the expenses are low for me to come to a church in the Oklahoma City area. However, if your church is great distance from our ministry headquarters, we do ask that your church pay expenses for travel, food, lodging. And if one of our listeners would like me to come and speak at their church, they can call our ministry here at 1-800-652-1144.
Well, James, it's a great honor to be able to minister with you. And I know our listeners, I think, have gotten a sample of your excitement. You are a godly man, a family man, and you love souls and you preach the word of God. That's so wonderful. I pray for you. And I want to ask our listeners, pray for both of us. Pray for Southwest Radio Church. We're doing some really new things, and we're striking out in the same direction theologically. We haven't changed any of our doctrines. We believe in heaven. We believe in hell. We believe in revival. We believe in the pre-trib rapture. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in preaching hard truth. We're not politically correct. We'll never be. But we are doing some new things to reach people and to expand our ministry, that Christ's name might be lifted up on all the earth. Well, thank you so much. Matthew, tell our listeners about James Collins' exciting book that we spoke about during our last program.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. It is great to have James Collins on board. Our special offer today is two of his books. The first book is titled, Don't Throw the Believer Out with the Baptistry Water. It is a funny title for a seriously good book. You can have a copy for a gift of $15 if you live in the United States, and $35 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this book on our website at swrc.com. The second book by James Collins is titled The Nativity, How the Story of Christmas Can Change Your Life. This book is not just a Christmas book. It is about the spirit of Christmas. This book is yours also for a gift of $15. You have probably heard of a video called The Jesus Film Project. It is incredible. Filmed on location in Israel, and the script is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Our very special offer today is to get both of James Collins' books, Don't Throw the Believer Out with the Baptistry Water, and The Nativity, for a gift of $20. We will include, at no additional charge, the DVD, The Jesus Film Project. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Philippians chapter 2 has much to say to those who are willing to count the cost and live the Christian life as exemplified by Jesus Christ. In verses 3 and 4, we read these words, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
That is telling us that we must not be motivated by selfishness. Every endeavor needs to be preceded by the question, Why am I doing this? It also tells us that we are to regard others as more important than ourselves. Have a teachable spirit. Have an open mind to the things of God. Be willing to learn from others.
Dr. Tony Evans is a black pastor in Dallas, Texas, who has both blacks and whites and also Asians and Latinos attending the church he pastors. His daughter, Priscilla Shira, is a gifted Bible teacher and writes excellent Sunday school literature. Dr. Evans tells the following story. It shows how a lack of humility can prevent you from getting to your destination. Marvin, why don't you share the story with our listeners?
Most importantly, getting behind the wheel in the car with their wife as the passenger can be a lesson in humility. You are driving down the highway and your wife says, "Honey, do you know where we are going?" "Yeah, I know exactly where we're going." Sweat is popping up on your forehead because you don't want to admit that you're lost. "Honey," your wife says, "why don't you pull over and ask someone?" Dr. Evans says, "You don't understand, ladies. To ask us men to pull over and ask somebody is an attack on our masculinity. What you are telling us in a nice way is, you don't know what you're doing. The farther you drive, the harder it is to admit that you're lost. And you are getting more lost by the mile. When you arrive at a checkpoint and they ask you for your passport, you know you're lost." Dr. Evans wraps up the story and says, "The point is this, a lack of humility can get in the way of reaching your destination."
I think the lesson is clear. Never let selfishness be your motive. Secondly, always regard others as more important than yourself. I love the way former U.S. President Ronald Reagan put it, "I'm not very smart, but I know a lot of smart people."
I am thankful to a friend for forwarding a video of the last sermon of a Canadian pastor before being imprisoned for violating COVID guidelines. His February 14th sermon, "Directing Government to Its Duty," seems to have stepped on some toes. According to CBC News, posted March 10th, Grace Life Church, west of Edmonton, Alberta, was charged last week as an entity for exceeding allowable 15% capacity at Sunday services in February. The church was again over its allowable capacity at a service on March 7th, according to Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Coates was charged in February with two counts of violating Alberta's Public Health Act. He was also charged under the Criminal Code for refusing to agree to bail conditions. Pastor Coates appeared virtually in Stony Plain Provincial Court from the remand center, dressed in an orange and black jumpsuit, to submit his plea on Monday, March 21st. He was released from the Edmonton Remand Center on March 21st after pleading guilty to breaching a court undertaking. Provincial Judge Jeffrey Champion imposed a $1,500 fine against Coates and credited him for that amount for time served. "Your decision could have been of danger to the health and safety of those in the community," said Champion. "The maximum punishment that could have been imposed was a $2,000 fine or 6 months in prison." Champion credited Coates for issuing his guilty plea. The pastor was in custody since February 16th. Coates was originally charged on February 7th with breaching distancing and capacity restrictions imposed by Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Dina Hinshaw. He was released on the promise to appear with a condition that he comply with public health orders. A week later, authorities attended the church and saw continued violations. Champion said Coates' services were a blatant violation of public health orders that were in place. He said no evidence was submitted on the size of Coates' congregation, who then may have gone out into the community. Coates is planning to challenge a ticket he received in December for allegedly exceeding 15% of the church's capacity and the constitutionality of the health orders behind that ticket. He's set to go to court in May. Speaking before the court on Monday, Coates said he was not making a statement by remaining in custody despite having the option to be in the community if he agreed to follow court orders. He said his obedience to Jesus Christ was putting him at odds with the law. "I am not a political revolutionary," said Coates. "I am simply here in obedience with Jesus Christ. It is this obedience that put me at odds with the law." Praise God for a pastor who is faithful to God first, yet being a loyal citizen following God's laws first, then those laws of man that do not contradict God's word.
The Carter Center, set up by former President Jimmy Carter, is being asked to explain events it has held which seem to promote Chinese Communist Party propaganda. Several members of Congress have written to the Atlanta, Georgia Center to point out that one of those events was held, quote, in cooperation with the United Front Work Department of the Chinese Communist Party, described by Chairman Mao as a magic weapon to ensure communism's victory over democracy.
The Free Beacon reported the letter from Representative Jody Heiss, Republican from Georgia, as well as Representative A. Drew Ferguson of Georgia. The United Front is an organization which is deeply hostile to any idea contrary to communism. We are deeply troubled that the United Front continues to be given a platform to spread its propaganda in the United States, the members of Congress told Paige Alexander, the CEO of the center.
The letter also reported that it was for this reason that former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, on December 4, 2020, took the historic step of imposing sanctions on individuals associated with United Front Work Department activities.
American security analysts are also concerned about the Confucius Institute's promoting Chinese communist propaganda on college campuses. Since January, Biden's Department of Homeland Security dropped the Trump-proposed rule to increase scrutiny of the Beijing-backed Confucius Institutes. Since January, Biden's Department of Homeland Security dropped the Trump proposal, which would have required universities to disclose their agreements with Confucius Institutes. This led several House Republicans to urge Biden to retain the rule.
The number of institutes plummeted from over 100 to 76. This is a good sign, but Biden's backtracking on the issues is a critical national security concern. The United States should be demonstrating resolve and commitment to freedom rather than protecting a mouthpiece of a hostile regime.
People think that Christians lead a boring life. They think it is a life of you can't do this and you can't do that. Our special offer today will show you that the Christian walk is far from boring. Find out how when you call 1-800-652-1144 or write to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147, and see for yourself on our website at swrc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for another edition of Southwest Radio Church.